Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong with you?
Benediction right there. That was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to the Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church, and we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I am here, as always, with the man that needs no introduction, the captain, Jack Barry. Jack, it is good to see you, my man. Are you redoing your recording space? Because the background looks different. I don't see any statues anymore. There's a new bookshelf back there.
Yeah, there's a bookshelf we added. Yeah. There's a chair that we... There's a bunch of books on that chair right there. It's not really, like, different. It's just we added a bookshelf back there to put more books on there. So
Okay.
My Spurge and my Calvin are up on another bookshelf that's, like, right over here that's off screen. So
there we go. There we go. Excellent. Well, Jack, my man, it's been a busy week. Lord's Day. Let me tell you what this Lord's Day was like for me. Okay.
Yeah.
So wake up. We've got church, obviously, right? So we're doing church every fourth Sunday of the month. We're adding kind of like a Sunday school-esque class for topics that, like, aren't necessarily pulpit worthy, but important nonetheless. Yeah. So okay. We're doing kind of a once a month Sunday school class. So we launched that this Sunday. That was really fun. That is in conjunction with a potluck, because if you want people to stay, True. You know, you got to give them some food. You got to make it worth a while, right? So we have the Lord's Day service. We had the second our second Sunday school kind of hour after that. Then I skedaddled home and had pre-engagement counseling with a couple. And then after that, we had our young adults group that hit at 3 o'clock. So it was bang, boom, bam all day. It was a good Sunday, but feeling a little ragged today. Not going to lie. Although I will say I smoked a couple of pork shoulders for the potluck, and man, they turned out pretty good.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, nice. I've fully embraced the old man ethos, if you will. It's just who I am now. Yeah.
Yeah, we had a pretty busy Lord's Day service. Our projector went out, like, right before we started.
Oh,
worship.
No.
Thankfully, what we've been doing, I think for about a year now, maybe less than a year, is we start to print out the lyrics of each worship song that we'll do.
Nice. Good backup.
So we had, so I was like, I just went to the, I was like, one of our pastors like, hey, our projector is giving us issues here. So we're going to go get on the good old fashioned 21st century train and pull up Google on your phone and type in there this. Just the first song that we sung was All Creatures of Our God and King, which is like a tee up pretty much.
Oh yeah.
100%. So I just went to the back and I just found like a bunch of the liturgy kind of printout liturgies that we have with the songs on it and lyrics and everything. I just started passing those around to people and everything like that. So
nice. That's awesome.
But then we got it fixed towards the end of kind of like our first, our transition time from when we, mm-hmm. and just singing worship to go into like the word and stuff like that.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Thankfully. Awesome, and then man. We had the NFC Championship game.
That's right. Seahawks are going to the Super Bowl,
was
baby.
Nuts.
Yeah.
Was
here
nuts.
We go. Here
it
we
was,
go.
I think they're going to win it all. I don't think the hey. Patriots, I don't think the let's Patriots are going to be able to beat them. But
yeah.
hey, let's that's just my opinion.
So. Yeah. I had a Freudian slip during service.
Oh, gosh.
I was tasked with the benediction. Oh, right. No. So I decided to do it out of Hebrews, right? The
yeah.
end of Hebrews.
Yeah.
Great benediction. And I got up to the pulpit and my mind just, I don't know what happened. I don't know if I was thinking about second service or just, or the pulled pork. I don't know what it was, but I went into autopilot and I go like as confident as can be, like as if there was no question. Stating this as fact behind the pulpit, as the Apostle Paul tells us in the book of Hebrews, and I just read the benediction and just went off with it, dude. And after I said it, I was like, "Oh yeah, that's not fact. I think it's true, but that I just stated that like it's just yeah,
oh, yeah.
like yeah, duh." And one of the other elders came up and he's like, "Well, I'm glad it's settled. like,
oh my
God, we got to figure it out." Yeah, wow. Dude, it was a moment, but you know, not the worst moment to have.
No,
because you know, I think it's true. So it is what it is. But Jack, my friend, we have very interesting stuff to talk about today. Very mm-hmm. unique things to talk about. I'm excited to chat with you about doing ministry in the PN Dubs. But before that, as always, my friend, we have some business to get to, even before the Instagrams. We got a name to hallowed.
Oh boy.
Because here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, if you have been listening to the episodes, you know that the Podluck currently is on, it's on sale. If you want to become a Patreon member, up until January 31st, the end of January, you can get your first month of the Podluck of Patreon 50% off. Now, here's the thing. It's already only $5 a month. Okay, let's be real about this. So you're getting your first month of Patreon around $2.50.
Yeah,
that's insane. All right. Plus, yeah. you get this episode early. You get multiple bonus episodes. You get the Reformatory chat. You get exclusive drops of merch, like ahead of time merch. We actually have two lines of merch that we are going to be dropping in February, but our patrons get it first. And you got to head over there and get yourself a Patreon subscription for 50% off. And we have a new patron that has decided to join the ranks of the Podluck. My friend, we are shouting out the one, the only, the legendary Buddy Boone.
Wow.
Which might be
what
one of
name.
The coolest names.
What
I
name.
Need to know from Buddy, you got to let us know in the Patreon chat.
Is it legal?
If that is your real name.
Is it on your birth certificate?
Dude, is Buddy Boone your actual name? Because if it is, dude, that might be one of the coolest names I've ever heard in my life. Buddy yeah. Boone sounds like either a professional boxer or a professional like barbecue.
Mafia.
Or that. Yeah, you can do that too. Yeah. But we got to shout out Buddy Boone for joining the ranks of the Podluck, my friend. You are legendary. We thank you for joining. Our pledge to you has been fulfilled and his name has been hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. Buddy Boone, ladies and gentlemen, legendary, legendary name, legendary man. Jack, my friend, it is time for everyone's favorite segment. Don't forget to eat your Instagrams.
And now's the time you've all been waiting for. The Reformatory Podcast presents Don't Forget to Eat Your Instagrams with your hosts, Josh Loftus and Jack Berry. And remember, kids, it's not heresy if you believe it hard enough.
This is Don't Forget to Eat Your Instagrams. And remember, kids, it's not heresy if you believe it hard enough. That is how it works. Jack, I've got some fun ones for you today, man. So I don't know what Christian TV show this is. I don't know who this is. I know nothing about this individual. Just this reel popped up across my feed and it made me laugh because this is exactly how I would respond if somebody were to send me a message like this individual received.
I've been anointed to save Canada. I doubt it. Anyone that would write that sentence has like screws loose in their head. Holy moly, what a cringe question. I have been anointed to save Canada. Well, good. We can all take a break then, now that Superman's here. How should I start since everybody is LGBTQ? I would just quit. I don't think you're like right in the head. But you can get right in the head. God will help you. But I would go work somewhere. Because you're not anointed to save Canada, I can promise. Nobody would write that. That has like any type of intelligence. Next. You can get intelligence. I'm just saying right now you don't have any.
Wow.
How does the love walk play a role in your ministry and life? You're asking me? Did you just hear my previous answer? Maybe ask someone else. Next.
Dude. I doubt it. I doubt it. Don't know who he is, but that response made me laugh very much.
I think he's a word of faith dude. So I
is
think
he really?
I think he's a little bit cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Dude, that makes it even better though, that he's crapping on other guys, just encroaching on his territory. That's what he's doing. I doubt it. Well, we can all take a break now that Superman's here.
Wow.
Oh, that's good stuff. Okay. Wow. Jack, here's the thing. I am all, in fact, I'm greatly in favor of turning the Word of God into songs that we sing in church. I think some of the best hymns of the faith and songs that we have here either are paraphrases or, in some cases, direct quotations from the Word of God. Nothing better to sing and fill our heads with on the Lord's Day, obviously, than the Word of God. But there are some passages of Scripture that perhaps should just be left alone.
Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces. On your faces. Come on, let's sing that.
Nope, not singing that.
Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces. On your faces, make this the cry of your heart.
No, I'm not. I'm not making that the cry of my heart. Nope, I'm not.
I think it's so creative. It's so creative.
No,
I will spread dung across your face. Make that the cry of your heart this morning, church. Shout it out to the Lord. Wow. Put your hands in the air if you're feeling this.
No.
Oh, good stuff. I love that.
Burn it down. We need to start over.
To be fair, I believe that channel is satirical. I don't think that's real. I've seen these guys come across my feed before, and they take like wild, like out of context verses and turn them into like modern day music.
Okay.
Worship
songs. I'm on board with that.
Dude, that's funny. I think there are a couple. That's one example. Some of the stuff they pull out I think they pulled out some stuff of like Judges where you're just like, goodness, dude.
Oh no. Oh boy.
Good stuff. Good stuff. I like it a lot. It's my kind of humor. Jack, my man, it is time for us to hop into our topic today. And this topic is kind of a continuation of a post a while ago that I kind of put up on Twitter, like a little thread, just talking about some of the unique challenges that come with doing ministry or simply just being a Christian that, you know, cares about the lost in the Pacific Northwest, in the PNW. And I think the PNW offers some very unique challenges when it comes to pastoring, when it comes to being a faithful church member, when it comes to evangelizing, things of that sort. And I think it's important to talk about. Now, as a caveat, in no way are we saying that you know, the P&W is the most difficult place to be a pastor and be a Christian and do ministry, and everywhere else in America, you know, it's a slice of cheesecake. That's not at all our intention, and that's not at all what we're saying. We understand very well that there are many, you know, regions in the country that have their own specific issues and challenges when it comes to pastoring and evangelizing the lost, right? And all this stuff. But Jack and I live in the PNW, and I've lived in the PNW my entire life, mm-hmm. and Jack most of his life.
Yeah.
And the challenges that we see here on the west side of the country, particularly, I would say, and I think it is more than this, but I would say it's some of the most difficult in Washington and Oregon and creeping into Idaho, but definitely Washington and Oregon for sure. Mm-hmm. Kind of the tech centers of the of the country in some way. Some very unique challenges when it comes to pastoring and what that looks like. But Jack, I want to throw it over to you first and give me your kind of across the bow experience with trying to encourage Christians in their, you know, local church centrality while living here in Washington. Am I crazy in thinking that it's difficult, or are you seeing the same things, my man?
Oh yeah, it's difficult. I mean, I would say that we have a system of politics that's usually leaning to one side of the spectrum.
Yep.
versus most. And you all can guess that. I mean, I'm not gonna be ashamed of saying it. Most of our state, and I would say except Idaho, maybe.
Although they're creeping
a little bit. Yeah. I mean, you have, if you look at the Pacific Northwest as traditionally speaking, Washington, Oregon, and Idaho, as it's been taught to me and probably Josh in our public school classes of Pacific Northwest history, usually that's like 14, 15 million people. And 75% of the population lives in the metro cities, meaning that most of the people in the Pacific Northwest live in Western Washington.
Yep. Seattle and Portland.
Yep. just north of Seattle and south of Seattle. So I'm in Tacoma. Yep. I'm in basically the hub of that area. And then in Portland, 75% of the population lives in those areas. So there's a uniqueness to that. Josh is in an area that I would say is rural, but he's in the western part of the western part of Washington.
Yeah,
where he's still feeling the residual effects somewhat here and there. Mm-hmm. Versus, it gets a little bit different once you get into across the Cascade Mountains in Oregon and Washington State, where it becomes a little bit more conservative and rural and more agricultural leaning. Except for maybe a few spots, I would say Spokane is that kind of one outlier. Yeah. In Idaho, it could be Boise or Coeur d'Alene.
Yep.
Maybe in the Tri-Cities in Washington State, maybe Bend down in Oregon. So, there's outliers like that. I would say the biggest issues that we face is that versus maybe the other parts of the country is that we were part of the Western frontier. So we didn't really have an established church background. And this goes back to even like how my dad and my mom came out to the Pacific Northwest from Cleveland, Ohio. Cleveland is very Roman Catholic. That's the established kind of religious background that you usually see people kind of go towards. We don't have that here in the Pacific Northwest. We don't have relics of any kind of religious kind of experience, unless you may be looking at like the natives in the area, the Native American people in the area.
Large native presence, but yeah, I would say, in terms of established like historical religious.
Yeah, we don't have that.
No,
I would say the up and coming things that are happening in the area, I would say, that have marked us since the beginning of the 21st century have been Moscow, Idaho, some little pockets of big mega churches. Mega church history has been mostly the stance of the Pacific Northwest, unfortunately. Mars Hill, that incorporates a lot of what we've been through. A
lot of New Age.
A lot of New Age atheism. A lot of atheism. And then on top of it, too, you have a mix. And that mix is people really don't like, if I were to come up to somebody in Tacoma, just like go down the street from where I'm at, maybe at like the Safeway, and just ask them, what do you think the gospel is?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're either not going to know, or they're going to give me an answer that is so like far off that it's not even remotely close to what the gospel is.
Yeah.
So there's no really kind of religious underpinning that we have. We have a lot of people vying for that, vying to be like the quote unquote top dog of like that. And I think guys like Driscoll, guys like Doug Wilson try to do that all the time.
Yeah. Judah Smith is a
Judah
guy
Smith.
Too.
The guy down south, John Mark Comer in that area, down in Portland, I would say. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's this weird dynamic that we have, because I feel like we have everybody. And to minister in the Pacific Northwest really means to kind of get towards an understanding of you're probably ministering to people who have no clue what the gospel is, or they're riffing off of presuppositions of what it means.
Yep.
So, or even what the Bible means, or even what the Bible teaches. And so you really just have to say, hey, I mean, I get this all the time, even when I've done just outreach in Tacoma. A lot of people have a somewhat foggy understanding of what the Bible and who Jesus is. but they are not, you know, if you start to get at kind of the roots of the issues, hey, if I were to say Jesus is God, would you agree with that? No. A lot of them are not going towards that Trinitarian viewpoint that historic Christianity has held too.
Yep.
Because we also have, especially in the urban areas, like I'm in a very big, you know, Tacoma is a pretty big urban area. About 250,000 people live in the city of Tacoma. And then across Pierce County is one of the three major counties in kind of Western Washington.
Yep.
I would say that in the major cities, you have a lot of cults. It's the same thing, man. Cults will come into the urban areas and they will try and take over and try and leech off of gospel language in order to brainwash people into believing heresy.
Sure.
So I get this all the time. You get Mormons, you get Jehovah's Witnesses. The more interesting dynamic I've seen lately is the Hebrew Israelites, especially in urban areas.
Yep.
They will go preach on certain corners of Tacoma, and it is like, it's wild, dude.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah.
So
they are a wild bunch.
I think progressive Christianity is slowly dying off. It's just dying a slow death.
Yeah.
It's becoming our state.
It's becoming out of favor, right? Because especially in Washington, I think of Washington kind of like, you know, Acts 17, right? Paul walks in and he sees all the altars to the gods, and then he sees the altar to the unknown God. And there's the famous, you know, men of Athens, I perceive that you're very religious, right? I often feel like that's what Washington is it's just this, there's just this smorgasbord of all types of worldviews that are in this same pot being stirred around. And then you throw, mega church, Christianity in the mix with that. And you just have this like primordial, awful religious stew that no one knows what's going on. No one knows the gospel. No one knows what's true. And so that's the religious side of it, right? Is it's just there's like we've said, there's a lot of new age. There's a lot of atheism, like cults are on the rise. Anything resembling Christianity, for the most part, when people think of that, they think of things like Mars Hill because of just the cultural like blow up that had in Seattle. Like everyone knew Mars Hill, right? Yeah. Or they think mega churches, just the big churches that are, you know, 5,000-7,000 people, where you show up and you hear a little TED talk and you walk out and there's no community, there's no commitment, there's no membership, there's no understanding of what a local church is or should be. And that's Washington.
Yeah.
That's where we're at, right? And that creates a extremely difficult dynamic, because if that's not hard enough,
yeah,
coming from a pastoral side now, mm-hmm, is there is a rampant, and I haven't seen, my experience is limited because of where I grew up and where I'm at, but from what I have seen, Washington, I have not found a place that has more of a spirit of individuality than Washington. Individualism is rampant in our state. What I mean by that is, the scenario that Jack posed, you know, talking, you know, getting someone out of the grocery store, hey, what do you think the gospel is, right? Like, the vast majority of people in that context won't even acknowledge that you exist. They will walk right by you because they think you're either a crazy person or you're selling something, right? And they want nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Getting people out of their houses, looking up from their phones, and trying to get them to connect with you in a meaningful way is so difficult in Washington. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of reasons for that, right? But something that I have found is, so not only do you have all of the religious junk that you have to deal with, say you have Christians now that want to be part of a church, right? They see that, you know, Washington is dark. It's a dark place to live. We need some, like we want to hear some good teaching, right? That spirit of individualism, mm-hmm, that runs rampant in our culture, in our state, like runs through the blood of everybody that's here.
Yeah.
So you get these Christians who want to come into the church and hear good preaching because they know that, you know, so-and-so down the street isn't preaching the gospel. They want to hear the gospel, but don't you dare talk to them about membership, because they do not want to be held accountable or be in community with people because they don't understand why they need that.
Yeah, that's the frontier spirit that I'm talking about,
too. It is, dude.
That invades.
Like me and my wagon, dude. Like, that's all I need, right?
Yeah. You can, and it's simple. Like, you go, I mean, that's been the typical kind of message that we've always gotten throughout history, right? You go out west to reinvent yourself.
Yeah, go you west, go
out,
young man.
You go out to the frontier to reinvent yourself.
It's freedom. Yeah.
You know, and you can see this from just like, even when I grew up, you know, one of the biggest movies was Dances with Wolves. And what happens?
Sure.
Kevin Costner goes from Civil War hero to a person who sides with native tribes and reinvents himself. Right.
Right. Right.
So that's kind of showing you the mentality of what it's like to do ministry out in the Pacific Northwest. Even I would say maybe the West Coast as well, too, generally. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's a little bit more, I don't know how to word this, but if you go into California is such a big state.
Sure.
It has a diversity of what it's offering.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
And so there's challenges. I won't speak on California particularly, because that's not our forte.
Yeah. But, I don't know much about California. Ruby does.
Rudy does.
We should get Rudy out on here.
Rudy does.
He'll tell us about California. Oh, yeah. He's in the hood, man.
He'll tell us about Compton.
Isn't he in Compton?
Yeah. He's in Compton.
He's not Presby. He's the
Dutch Reformed.
Dutch Reformed pastor in Compton.
Yeah. So I would say that, it's just very, forget about talking about church government, you know.
Yeah.
Or if we're talking about church government, it's the typical gathered around that one personality, that one charismatic personality that's going to lead us, right?
Yep.
So that's difficult. I would say the other difficulty that I'm seeing more and more is probably the rise, the individualism, but on a rampant scale. So what I mean by that, I've seen since 2019, several marriages. I would say it's starting to creep in on like maybe 10 or more completely fall apart.
Sure.
Because either one of the spouses, either the husband or the wife, says, I'm not really a Christian, and says, I'm done.
Yeah.
And then goes into a life of basically taking on, you know, taking on what there is to them in Washington State, which is mostly progressivism and liberalism. And that comes with it some dangerous stuff of wrecking.
Well, the sad thing is, if you like, if you want to find a church that panders to that or makes you feel comfortable in that decision, it's easy to find one in Washington.
Yeah. And I think the other part of it too, so I think you have one side of it is just the rampant ideology of individualism. But I think even that creeps into the church too, where you have figures like Driscoll and other folks who are trying to make themselves the center of the church.
Sure.
And I think that's where I come in to kind of talk about just how I try to go about ministering to people, my neighbors and other people who are maybe aren't Christians, is the only way that you're going to really, and this is, I wouldn't call this winning people over to Jesus, but there's definitely a distrust of Christians in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, there is.
They will be treated, you will be treated in the same vein as all the other cults, to be quite honest. So
really I would say to compliment that, there's just a spirit of distrust in general.
Sure. Sure.
Right. Yeah. Like it's not just like, I think Christians are near the top of that list for sure.
Yeah.
But just in general, people don't trust each other out here. You don't talk to people you don't know. If you're on the bus, you don't talk to people. If you're like, you're on your phone, you have your headphones and you have your hood up. That is the PNW, right? If you're on the light rail, you don't talk to people, right? Because out here, as weird as it sounds, the people who talk to people are crazy people, right? You're either on drugs or you're a crazy cult member trying to recruit. So yeah, that's 100% continue. That just add some context there.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, I think the other part of it too is just the way that I minister out to people here who are not Christians is just I want them to trust me.
Right.
I think that's the first gate, to be quite honest. And to just into just sharing the gospel, they need to trust you.
Yep.
It's just a very different line of thinking. So I mean, that first gate of just trusting somebody who's a Christian. And then going from there is what I've seen in my life start to impact other people's lives for the gospel and for Jesus. But it's different. It's different across the Pacific. But I feel like for me, I've taken that stance of like, in order for somebody to really know about Jesus and the gospel in the Pacific Northwest, they're going to have to trust me somehow, some way. So whether that's being more vulnerable, doing something, sharing about my life, like meeting up with them, or just saying like, hey, here's my number, text me and we'll go get coffee again sometime and talk. Yeah, there's different ways like that, but that's how I've gone about it usually. And for Christians, it's even more difficult because the Christians that are in our churches are facing a whole lot of stuff going on in their life. They're facing employers that could be hostile to Christianity and the gospel. They're facing employers that may slander or misrepresent what Christians believe in, like in, for example, like just the historic sexual ethic that we have of, we believe that men and women were created to enjoy sex in a marriage with one man and one woman being involved. We believe also too in child reproduction and not aborting kids.
Right.
So
right.
They may have issues with that. They could. I remember one time at my previous place of work, one of my coworkers is gay and I was talking to him about my local church and he goes, wow, it's like you just have done your due diligence to know what it means to be a Christian. And he had never seen that before in his life.
Sure. Someone that actually takes it seriously.
Yeah. He was raised in kind of nominal Catholicism, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
And so yeah. I think the way in which you start to minister to people around you, whether that be in your work, whether that be anywhere, to just like, we talk about it too at our local church of like outing yourself as a believer sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I try and do that as best as I can at work, of just slipping that in there of like, what'd you do this weekend? I went to church, I hung out with people at my church, like yeah. trying to hit that as much as you can so that people right. are inquisitive. Right. And yeah, I mean, the thing too is that everybody I look at in the Pacific Northwest, I don't view it as a us versus them too. I think that's that kind of mentality and thinking in the PNW in certain places has not got us in a really good place. I think Mars Hill yeah. tried to do it really hard, especially when Mark was in there. It's like, it's Mars Hill. It's the Christians versus, you know, Seattle pagans or something like that.
Sure.
Versus I think it's more along the lines of like, okay, how am I to minister to people in the Tacoma area? Like, what are they going through?
Yeah.
How can I talk to them, interact with them, help them trust me, maybe be friends with them.
Right.
And talk them, you know, further about the gospel and coming alongside them in their life and trying to minister to them in that way. I think yeah. that's anybody can do that, to be quite honest, if you're a Christian in any city, but I think for Josh and I, it's especially tough because most people think that you're just looking for money or you're trying to peddle something.
Well, it's true. And I think this is, and it's sad because I've seen a lot of very well-meaning, well-intentioned church planters try to come into Washington and plant a church. And within 5 years, it's wrapped up. Like I've seen that on multiple times and multiple instances. And I think part of that, not the whole thing, but I think mm-hmm. part of that is if you really have to realize the culture and you got to understand the culture that you're walking into in the PNW and how unique it is to perhaps other parts of the country that you might be used to, right? If you want to plant a church in Washington, you have to be prepared for that church to remain small. You should probably just accept the fact that you might never ever get to the point where the church can pay you full time. You'll most likely be bivocational for a while, if not, you know, your tenure at that church.
Yeah.
You're going to have to embrace the fact that you are going to have to train and explain membership to people because they're going to come into your church, hopefully wanting, you know, the word and wanting the truth, right? That's, you know, but when it comes to membership, they don't want nothing to do with that because getting people to admit that they are not enough on their own, that they need accountability, that they need community, that's a lot of work.
Yeah,
in this part of the country. And I think guys come into the PNW with kind of these thoughts of grandeur that, you know, they're coming into the darkness with the light. And it's true. I mean, they are. But you really have to know the culture that you're walking into and make sure that your expectations are realistic, because I have seen the PNW chew up and spit out more pastors than I would like to admit. And it is a dark place. Like, there's a reason people are leaving Washington in droves. Christians are leaving Washington in droves. And I understand it. Like, I can't fault them for it, right? But there are those of us that remain, and there are those of us that need help. We need prayer. We need, you know, faithful men and women that have a burden for the dark out here, both figuratively and literally. It's Washington, right?
Yeah.
It's raining all the time. There's a reason people are addicted to coffee and caffeine out here, right? You need to be willing to embrace that and come alongside that and understand the dynamic that you're walking into out here, and that you are not going to be liked. You are not going to be accepted. You are not going to be trusted. And it is an uphill battle for churches, right? Now, that sounds like it's all doom and gloom. And I don't mean it to sound like it's all doom and gloom, but it's realistic, right? Obviously, the Lord has his remnant everywhere. Anywhere you go in the world, you can find the people of God. And there is like one positive to that is that I'm seeing a resurgence in Reformed theology because of the direct, it's the antithesis to everything else that's going on, right? You have very liberal, very mainstream progressive Christianity in Washington. People don't want that, but that's what's popular if you're going to be a Christian, right? Yeah. Because it's easy to not think or have any convictions when you're kind of in that environment. So you have a lot of smaller churches, right? But they're robust theologically. Mm-hmm. Right? Confessionalism is on the rise right now. And I see more and more individuals becoming interested in it and exploring it here in the PNW. And that's exciting. That's really, really cool. But it's a remnant and it's small. And people need to realize that when they come into Washington. So if you're thinking of planting a church in the PNW in Washington or Oregon specifically, know the context that you're walking into and reach out to some pastors, reach out to some guys who have been in the ministry in Washington and Oregon and get the lay of the land, right? Like ask about the challenges, ask about the unique circumstances, ask about the people, right? How do you go about educating people on membership and why they need accountability and what does plugging into the church look like, right? What do you mean? I support the church with my time, my treasure and my talent. Doesn't mean just being here enough. All of these things are real and they're PNW problems, right? Again, not that you don't see that in other parts of the country, but it's very prevalent where we're at. It's just the context that Jack and I are in. So
yeah.
Pray for us because it's definitely a very dark place to do ministry. God has his people and his people are faithful and there's a faithful few that's out here. But the work is unique. And the work is hard, and we need men and women who are committed to the work and committed to the people so that the gospel would continue to go forth. Because even the city of destruction needs the evangelists for the Christians that are running out, right?
Yeah.
We need that, and Washington needs that. So it's a unique place, man. I wouldn't trade it for anything. It's hard, but it's rewarding.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful for my small but faithful local church and the men and women that are in it and their desire to be in community with one another. It is such a blessing in the dark reality that Washington is.
Yeah. I think if I didn't have my local church, if I wasn't a Christian, I would lose my mind up here.
Oh, 100%. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. I've told my wife multiple times, like, if we didn't have this church, like, we probably wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if we didn't feel as if the Lord was specifically calling us to minister to these people that we understand because we grew up here, right? These are our people, like it or not.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a PNW guy and I see the same tendencies in myself.
Yep.
Right. And I have to fight against those, right? I don't want to be told what to do. I don't naturally want to talk to people and be bothered by other people's business, right? Like, leave me alone. What are you talking about? I see those tendencies and the local church has been so good for me and my spiritual health. But yeah, dude, it's if I didn't have the church, it'd be nuts. It'd be bad. Yeah. it'd be real bad.
Yeah.
For sure. But Jack, my friend, that's I think that's all. Little peep into the P-dubs. The P-dubs. Yeah, that's right.
Into what we have to deal with up here.
Exactly.
I don't say what we have to deal with in a bad thing, but it is. Yeah, I mean, there's it has its days. It has its weeks.
Yeah, again, this isn't us bemoaning. It's just realistic, right?
Yeah.
I think you can be realistic without being negative. I'm not being negative. I'm laying out the facts. This is what it's like, right?
Yeah.
So that's hopefully that comes through in this episode. And if you've heard this episode and you still want to come visit the PNW, maybe you still want to engage in ministry here in the PNW, reach out to me, reach out to Jack, reach out to some other pastors that you might know of. I know Kofi is doing great work down there in Oregon. He's facing the same issues that we are up here. It's just a different coastline. Yeah. We would love to talk to you about that. But bare minimum, we would ask that you would pray, that you partner with us in prayer, and that we would not grow weary in the work that the Lord's calling us to do. So, Jack, my man, before our listeners get weary, why don't you get us out of here?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you appreciate Josh and I's centrality here, our endeavor to make the local church central to the believer's life from the good old Pacific Northwest, Western Washington, if you will, you can
West Side for life.
You can follow us on the sociables, if you will. You can follow us on the Instagrams, but you can follow us on the sociables, those dastardly little sites. You can send us a DM, message us, send us episode ideas, questions, comments, concerns, anything along those lines. We're at the tag at Reformatory Pod at the following sociable sites. So you have your Metaverse, your Facebook, if you will, your Instagram goes well with chocolate marshmallow, little heresy sprinkled on top of it, maybe a little bit as well too.
Hey, you know.
And your sociable, formerly known as Twitter X, if you will. As I said, you can find us at those sociable sites at the tag at Reformatory Pod. Josh, you can tell the lovely people how they might support us further in our endeavors here.
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to support the Reformatory, you can head on over to YouTube. If you want to watch these episodes as well as listen to them, it does help make the Instagrams go down a little smoother. You can head on over there, like, comment, subscribe, hit the little bell for notifications, as the kids say. Share this podcast, maybe this episode, with a friend. So they can also be encouraged into making their local church central in their life. We would really appreciate that. Last but not least, we have a Patreon, and you can follow the lead of the legendary Buddy Boone. Man, I feel like he needs a theme song. I got to find a theme song for Buddy Boone, man. It's good stuff. Anyway, you can follow his lead and hop on the Patreon while we're doing the 50% off deal for the rest of January. I'm telling you, up until, I think it's like 11:59, January 31, baby. You can get your first month of the Patreon 50% off. So it goes from $5 to $250.
$250.
$5 to $250. Dude, I'm telling you, it's the deal of the century. And you get a lot of cool stuff over on the Patreon. We really appreciate you guys do that. And if you choose to do so, as you have already heard on this podcast, Jack and I are men of our word. Your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge, our vow to you. Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you so much for listening to this episode, and we will catch you on the next episode of The Reformatory.